Tape recorded message number TL-301. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 42. Jeremiah 42, our studies begin with the first verse. Now let me back up just a little bit and mention that the man Johanan and the captains, they consulted as to what course they ought to take. And driven by their fear of what Nebuchadnezzar might do when he heard of the murder of the governor that he had appointed over Jerusalem, they thought of Egypt as a place for refuge. But before they finally settled and determined to go there, they left the north side of the waste of Jerusalem where they were, and they passed down to the south side near Bethlehem, which was in the direction of Egypt. And they formed a camp there and stayed for a little while till they should decide what they should do. Now that brings us to the 42nd chapter. Then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah the son of Hosheiah, and all the people from the least of them even unto the greatest came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, Let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. Pray that the Lord God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Seems like a very sincere request. As we note that these captains and all the people came to Jeremiah, who had been carried away from Mizpah and rescued from Ishmael with the other captives, and they asked Jeremiah to show them the way that they should now take. They say, we're weak and we're diminished in numbers, there's just a few of us, and so they felt that they needed clear guidance from God as to what path that they should follow. Now Jeremiah, in the fourth verse, speaks to the people. And we read, Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you, and I will keep nothing back from you. Now, you remember that at one time Jeremiah had been forbidden to pray for the people in Jerusalem, but he is now at complete liberty to pray for this diminished group, this little band of fugitives. In verse 5, then they said to Jeremiah, this is the people replying to Jeremiah, The Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whether it be good, or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. So this is their solemn pledge, their oath, that they will act upon the word that the Lord would give them through the prophet Jeremiah. Well, they waited for 10 days, and no answer came, but on the 10th day it came. And we read in the 7th and the 8th verses, It came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people, from the least of them, even unto the greatest. So So when the reply was given, after 10 days of waiting, he called together the captains and with them all of the people. Now, this is what Jehovah said through Jeremiah to the people. Verse 9. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him. If ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you up, and not pull you down. And I will plant you, and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord. For I am with you to serve you, and deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you, and cause you to return to your own land. Now that was the answer that they received. It was God's promise to them of blessing and preservation if this little band of people should remain in the land. And the Lord declares that he's filled with compassion on them because of all the sufferings that they have already passed through, that he had to bring upon them, and now even they're afraid of the king of Babylon, who was known for very definite action against any who rebelled against him. Let them not act upon this motive of fear, but let them look to the Lord. You see, the Lord was much nearer to them than Nebuchadnezzar, and his very presence there would have meant salvation and deliverance for them. And God even promises that he will direct the thoughts of the king of Babylon, and the king of Babylon will take a merciful view toward them of all that happened, and will enable them to return to their own homes. So this little band could have been the seed that God planted in the land. But now there comes a warning, beginning here with verse 13. First the people speak. They speak among themselves. But if ye say, We will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, No, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. So, if they did not obey the voice of Jehovah their God, and if they made their choice and went to Egypt hoping to find refuge there, if they did not look to the Lord for deliverance, but they looked to Egypt, where they said, we'll be safe from war and famine, well, the two ways here are made very plain. You see, they've got a word from God. And when men have a word from God, they can act upon it. And there is only one possible definition of faith, and that's to take God at his word and to respond accordingly. And if they remain in the land, then they've taken God at his word and they've acted accordingly. But if they go to Egypt because it's quiet there at that moment, Well, that just showed that they were trusting in Egypt and not in the Lord. Now, the Lord speaks to the people beginning with verse 15, and we'll read right through to verse 18. And now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, that's the Lord of the armies of heaven, the God of Israel. If ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go to Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, As mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you, when ye shall enter in the land of Egypt. And ye shall be an execration, and an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. So if they do make the decision to go into Egypt, God tells them very clearly that the war and famine that they hope to avert will follow them there, will overtake them, and they will perish. Just as it had been with disobedient and sinful Jerusalem, so would it be with them, and they would be destroyed in the land of Egypt. Now, beginning in verse 19, the Lord has said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For ye dissembled in your hearts when ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, Pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will not do it. This is Jeremiah speaking. And now I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he has sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, in the place where ye desire to go into sojourn. It's rather plain that they went to the Lord, had Jeremiah to go to the Lord, hoping that the Lord would tell them what they wanted to do, not what he desired them to do. For his word to this remnant was, Go ye not into Egypt. That was God's very plain word to them. But the Lord had seen, he looked into their hearts at the time that they said to Jeremiah, You pray for us, and we will do as the Lord commands. And he saw right there that they had a mixed idea in mind, and in the end were going to do what they thought best, because they had already made up their minds that whatever the answer of the Lord might be, they would go into Egypt. That was their attitude. So many have that attitude today in regard to the things of God, in regard to the truth of God. They say, Lord, show me thy truth. And when they find it, oh, how hard it is to follow. I've been through the experience. I know whereof I speak. I've had to avoid it in my own life, but I've seen it in the lives of many others. So their asking for the Lord's guidance was just a mere pretense. They hoped that he would tell them to go to Egypt because that's what they'd already planned to do. And just to go back to Egypt would be to deny the truth, the very leading that the Lord had granted to them. Now, this brings us to chapter 43. Chapter 43 and verse 1. Now, it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, Thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, Go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Barak the son of Neriah setteth thee on against us, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death, and carry us away captives into Babylon. So Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces, and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. Now remember, keep in mind that Jeremiah was really no part of this. He wasn't seeking advice from the Lord as to whether he should go into Egypt or not, and the Lord does not give him any directions. So we see here that these leaders were swelled up in their pride, and they would not accept the word given through Jeremiah because this was contrary to their own advice, what they had already declared. And because they were afraid of the Chaldeans, they denied that what Jeremiah had said was the word of the Lord. And we see here that they were not prepared to act upon the word of the Lord when it went against their own views. Now, you know, when the Bible speaks of repentance, the Greek word for repentance means to submit, to yield. And it's an attitude that one has to take in advance. The Greek word for repentance is to have the aftermind. To have the mind now that you will have after you know what's revealed. So many people who want the Lord to show them the truth, who want the Lord to speak to them from His Word, are not prepared at all to act upon the Word of the Lord if it goes contrary to their creed or their thoughts or their wishes. And to give the people a reason for going back on their solemn promises, to accept the answer that Jeremiah should receive in the Lord, as they had promised that they would receive it, they invented a story that Barak was plotting their destruction, and so used his influence with his friend Jeremiah to persuade them to follow a course that would bring Nebuchadnezzar's revenge. And of course the people liked this theory, and since this was the theory that they liked, they accepted the theory. Now in the fifth verse, we find them assembling to go to Egypt. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations, whither they had been driven, to dwell in the land of Judah, even men and women and children and the king's daughters, and every person that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Barak the son of Neriah. So they gather all together, and it seems that they were completely unanimous, and even the children were affected by it. They all set their hopes upon Egypt, except two unwilling people, and that was Jeremiah and Barak. And so as a band, they must stay together, of course. And Jeremiah is going along as their spiritual guide to remind them of what the Lord said. So we read in verse 7, they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Tapanhes. So they disobeyed the Lord. And they went to Egypt, and they came to the city called Tapanhes. This city was a fortress. It was on the northern border of Lower Egypt, and it guarded the road to Syria. Pharaoh had one of his palaces there. Now, God's spokesman, though, is among them to remind them that they have done the wrong thing. So in the 8th verse we read, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in Tapanhes, saying, take great stones in thine hands. You see, Jeremiah's contact with the Lord was not changed at all by simply a change of place. The word of the Lord came to him here just as it came to him in Jerusalem. And in verse 9, he said, take great stones in thy hand, and hide them in the clay in the brick kiln, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house in Tapanhes, in sight of the men of Judah. So, in a public manner, so that every one of this little band of Jews could see him working, he was to take large stones and set them, plaster them over with clay in the brick pavement, which was at the entrance of Pharaoh's palace in Tapanhes. Now, what was the meaning of this? Well, we get this in verse 10. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And that was the solemn prophecy from God that Jeremiah uttered in the land of Egypt. For God's power was above all of Egypt's armies, and he was still the God of Israel, even though these Israelites had rejected him. And God says, or Jeremiah says, that God would send his servant Nebuchadnezzar, because at this point in what Nebuchadnezzar did, he was doing the will of God. He says, I'll send my servant Nebuchadnezzar, and over these very stones, in this very place, he will pitch his tent. Now, strange thing about it, in the excavations that have taken place in Egypt, this pavement has actually been discovered. Far as we can tell, the actual pavement put down by Jeremiah has been discovered. Now, verse 11, we get the prophecy of the defeat of Egypt. When he cometh, that is Nebuchadnezzar, he shall smite the land of Egypt, and deliver such as for death to death, and in such as are for captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the house of the God of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives, and he shall array himself with the land of Egypt, as a shepherd putteth on his garment. He shall go forth from thence in peace. He shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh that is in the land of Egypt, and the house of the God of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. You see, Nebuchadnezzar's dominion was to be universal. It was to be a world empire. And so the Lord was going to bring Nebuchadnezzar himself to that place as a conqueror. And there he would judge, he would cause some to be put to death, he would cause others to go into captivity, others to be put to the sword, all according to his will. And then of all the many gods of Egypt, he would burn them and carry them away according to his desire, and all the treasures of Egypt would be his, and no one would hinder his coming, and no one would hinder his going. And he would burn all the temples of the Egyptians' gods. Now, 5 years, just 5 years after the destruction of Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar invaded, and he destroyed Ammon, and he destroyed Moab, and then he conquered the Egyptians. And these Jews that had taken refuge in Egypt, saying, we will not see war there, we'll just see peace and quietness, punishments that God visited showed that he was there also. Now, in chapter 44, beginning with verse 1, chapter 44, beginning with verse 1, we have the word of the Lord from Jeremiah to the Jews who are in Egypt, this little band of Jews. Begins with first verse of chapter 44. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdol, at Tapanhis, at Noph, in the country of Pathros, saying, this message is about the Jews living in the many towns in lower Egypt and in Pathros, which was in upper, what we'd call southern Egypt. Now here's what he said. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem, and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein, because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense, and to serve other gods whom they know not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn their wickedness, to burn incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth, and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. And so we cannot help but think here of the word of the Lord to Israel, "You only have I known of all the peoples of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for your iniquity." You see, great light, great blessing, and great truth brings great responsibilities. And so here these Jews are reminded of their experiences in Jerusalem and Judah, and how those places are now empty and void, laying waste. And he reminds them of all the reason for this, and tells them that that's why Jerusalem and Judah are desolate at this time. Now the Lord appeals to them in verse 7 through Jeremiah. "Therefore now, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling, out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, in that ye provoked me with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all nations of the earth. Have ye forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humble even to this day, neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers." And God asked the question as to why these Jews in Egypt continue in the same ways. Then to continue in these same ways means that the same punishments will fall upon them. They seem to have forgotten their former sin and its consequences. And there's no humbling. There's no turning to the Lord. No turning to law and to his statutes. That brings us to verse 11 of the 44th chapter. "Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil, and to cut off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go in the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest by the sword and by the famine, and they shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah which are gone to the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall escape or remain, that they should return in the land of Judah, to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there, for none shall return but such as shall escape." Over and over, God reminds them. Over and over, he speaks to them. And here again he says that this little remnant of Judah, which is in the land of Egypt, that there they will perish, and their miseries and their final fate will be such as to cause great astonishment. For just as Jerusalem had been punished, so they will be. Not one of these is to return to Judah as they desire to do, except those who from among them will take warning right then yet and flee from Egypt and go back to their own land. Now, they answer Jeremiah. Men, the women, the whole company of Jews, they answer Jeremiah. Verse 15. "And all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Patras, answered Jeremiah, saying, As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven. A female deity who was worshipped by the Egyptians, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done. We and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. See, they're very pragmatic in following this out. And so in this great gathering, they assert their determination. We will pay no attention to the word of the Lord. For they had vowed to worship the Queen of Heaven, part of the old Babylonian worship, started in Egypt and becomes the worship of Babylon. And they were going to do this. Their fathers had worshipped in Jerusalem, and things went well then. That's because that God was patient with them is the reason it went well. And since that they had ceased to do this, it had gone ill with them. That's their reasoning. That's their reasoning. In verse 19, they say, the women say, when we burned incense, the Queen of Heaven, and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her, and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? So they made little cakes, little round cakes, in honor of the Queen of Heaven. And when they worshipped her, they did it without the approval of their husbands. Did they do this, I mean, without the approval of their husbands? No. On the contrary, they said to Jeremiah, we can assure you that our husbands gave consent to all of them. That brings us to verse 20. Then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women, and to all the people given him that answer, saying, the incense that ye burned in the city of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings and your princes, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them, and came it not into his mind, so that the Lord could no longer bear, because of the evil of your doings, and because of the abominations which ye have committed? Therefore is your land a desolation, and an astonishment, and a curse, without an inhabitant, as at this day, because ye have burned incense, and because ye have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies. Therefore this evil has happened unto you this day. So, that is the answer of Jeremiah. Contrary to every fact in stating that things had gone well with them in Jerusalem, it had not gone well with them in Jerusalem. And it was just because that they had committed this idolatry that the terrible punishments fell upon them. We marvel at the blindness of people. We marvel at their stubbornness. And yet let me tell you, in seeking to serve the Lord, in seeking to get people to act upon and to believe his word, I find the very same attitude of mind among people today that I believe that Jeremiah found in his day. Our fathers did it, and so we will do it. They think it went well with them, and they think it will go well with us. Well, Jeremiah's got a further word to the people, beginning with verse 24 of chapter 44. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, that is, that raised their hand to this, and said, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her. But ye will surely accomplish your vows, vows, and surely perform your vows. Therefore hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any of the men of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, The Lord God liveth. Behold, I will watch over you for evil and not for good. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed with the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. So, he says, you men and your women, you said that you will keep your vows and you will worship the Queen of Heaven. You say we've sworn these oaths and we're bound by them. Therefore the Lord has sworn by his own name that you will keep it, that none of you will ever turn and come back to him, but you'll do just as you said you'll do, and you will die in your sins. Sort of a case once again of God saying, Ephraim is joined to his idols, let him alone. And yet something's to happen. Verse 28. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt and the land of Judah. And all the remnant of Judah that are gone the land of Egypt and sojourn there shall know whose words shall stand, mine or theirs. So a small number would escape, would return to the land of Judah to be witnesses there, so it could be seen which word was true. Was the word of the Lord true, or was it the word of those who rejected him? Now, that brings us to verse 29. This shall be a sign unto you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my word shall surely stand against you for evil. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, in the hand of his enemies, and in the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, the king of Judah, in the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, and that sought his life. And that was the sign by which they might know that he would punish the Jews who were in Egypt, just as the Lord had said. Just as he'd given Zedekiah in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, he would do a thing that was just unbelievable and unthinkable at that time. He would take this proud king of such great strength, and he would deliver him in the hands of the very ones who sought his life. Now, 16 years after Jerusalem was destroyed, this Pharaoh Hophra, he had had a very successful career, and he had sworn that no god could overthrow him. He was dethroned by one named Amasis, and he was actually strangled by some of his former subjects. We come to chapter 45. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke unto Barak, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, said. Now, we've been telling you all the way through that these chapters are not chronological, and right here the history returns to the fourth year of Jehoiakim. You'll remember that this was the time when Barak took dictation from Jeremiah and wrote out the prophecies which King Jehoiakim had then burnt. Now, this is inserted here because Barak was with Jeremiah, and Barak was his companion in all these experiences in Egypt. It is evident that he belonged to a family which had been very influential in Judah, and his own brother, Seraiah, had been a chamberlain in attendance upon King Zedekiah, as we learn from chapter 51, verse 59. A personal word right now to Barak. Thus saith the Lord of God of Israel unto thee, O Barak. You did say, woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. This man was frustrated, depressed by all that had happened. Here was what Jeremiah was to say to Barak. Verse 4, Thus shalt thou say unto him, the Lord saith thus, behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not, for behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. So while Jehovah deeply sorrowed over the judgments which he had, Barak was sorrowing over the judgments that he'd helped Jeremiah to make known, he was not alone, because the Lord himself was profoundly infected. For the very kingdom and testimony, the very people that he had established and cared for, he himself had to destroy. It's evident that this man Barak had hoped for a very successful career. But now, in communion with God, he must abandon all such thoughts. For he is to see the fulfillment. And remember that this was spoken in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. And Barak would see the fulfillment of those prophecies of punishment which he has written. Nevertheless, the Lord says, I'm going to watch over you, and I'll always spare your life. Wherever you may be, I will be with you, and I will deliver you. Well, that completes our examination of the short 45th chapter, the Lord's word spoken to Barak, and we will begin our studies in the next lesson with chapter 46. It has been my privilege to teach you and take a look at this prophecy of Jeremiah, with which we need to become familiar. Causes us to see more and more that the attitude of men in the past was very much like the attitude of men today when it comes to hearing and to keeping the word of the living God. So till we gather again around the pages of God's book, I thank you for listening. And I bid you goodbye.